All right, Jayhawks on the move, powered by B&B Farm Store in Jessup, and we are set to go for week two as the high school football season continues to move along, and it's nice to see some excitement out there and getting people together. Of course, encouraging social distancing, of course, as we get into it, but I do have to say that last week when I was congratulating all the people down at B&B and saying the guys, you know, they take care of you. I did have a mom come up and say of one of your players that's very connected to B&B and said, what about the girls? And I said, well, we all know that the girls do it all down there anyway. So, you know, just had to give Donnie a little bit of credit. So all the ladies out at B&B, they're the ones that actually run the show. Anyway, Nate Clayburgh on Jayhawks on the Move, sponsored by B&B Farm Store of Jessup. Week two, Coach Tim Sauer comes on Jayhawks on the Move or Zoom or something like that that we've transitioned to. But, Coach, let's get back to Friday. Let's rewind to Friday. Did that, you know, on a positive side, I think it was one of the most exciting games I've seen on that field in a couple years. Just the power, the excitement, and continued success of the offense and the contributions the defense had. Just talk through the feelings coming into that game and then your reflections after you were after the win over North Lynn.
You know, it was a great victory. It was great to see the offense, defense, and special teams all come out and perform. You know, we racked up almost over 460 yards of offense, which I think is, if you want to look at from a week one opener, that's probably the most we've had in a while to start the season. It's not the most in the last 5 years. Most offense we've had in the last 5 years was North Cedar, I think back in 16, where we had over 560 yards. So just for those people who like those little factoids out there, it was great to see defense almost had a shutout. We kept North Lynn to under 150 yards. You saw some serious speed. You saw, you know, our kind of model is our freshest, fast, fastest, fun. And just to watch our guys go out there and fly. And we're very fortunate that we have enough guys that can play, you know, start on offense, start on defense, and have a few guys go both ways. And, you know, kind of the expectation is for some of our seniors that have been part of the program for, you know, since they were in YSF, they have enough football IQ and enough sweat equity to be able to play 120, 140 snaps. So it's just great, especially to get that, you know, week one win, senior night win. And nothing about revenge, but, you know, we played a really close game against Northland last year, and we lost it in the last 20 seconds. And that's on us as coaches from last year. But and the win this week is was a great testament to our players' ability to come out and play, and they were ready to put on a show.
Yeah, you know, getting the touchdown, the first, getting the second quarter, and Jason Pilcher and I both talked about that. Of, you know, you guys came out of the gate great last year down at Coggin, and all of a sudden it was like the light switch went on and things changed, and that crossed our minds coming out of the locker room here on Friday. All of a sudden, you know, they're putting points on the board, and I'm like, going, were they holding back that first half? What's up their sleeve? Was there some thoughts or some flashbacks to 2019?
You know, when you work with high school kids, the biggest thing is, you know, we try to talk to them about how do you reset, you know, how do you have a short-term memory? What is one thing we work with the boys is you got to have a physical reset and a mental reset. So what do you say to, flip the switch on, off, or control, delete, or a hard reset your computer? And what's your physical part to try to help reset your neurologic system? But I would say, you know, you can't focus on those things. That's really hard. And, but, you know, sometimes that stuff does creep in the back of your mind. You just got to remember to tell the team that you're coaching, the guys that you're working with, that, hey, this is how we're going to be successful. We got to stay on schedule offensively. We got to get, you know, 3 yards on first down, get half on second down, and be third and manageable. Defensively, we got to get six. We got to get a combination of turnover sacks and fourth down stops. We believe if we can get less, we get more than six, we're going to be successful with that. And there are several times where we had North Lynn, I think their first four possessions were four and out. So we know if we can, the old adage, score more points than they do, we're going to be successful.
So just looking at some of the leaders in here, you know, Jace Pilcher at passing, and he's a second-time starter for you now as a senior. You know, when you look at that, 115 yards, 11 of 16, two touchdowns at that quarterback spot on the ground, one in the air. Jace is a pretty good leader out there for you.
Yeah, Jace has been tell this year, Jace has been one of the fastest kids that we've had. He's up there with Cresser and Dahl and Deli and Tanner, all those guys can fly. And it's just been really great. You know, one of the, if you want to say positive quarantine, is I think some of those guys just kind of locked themselves in their garage and ate everything they could and lifted as as much as they could. You know, you saw, you know, Jace looks about 15, 20 pounds heavier, and it looks good on him. He has a sense of body armor where if we need him to run between the tackles, he'll run between the tackles. If we need him to roll out, you know, he's got a little bit of cannon where he can launch downfield. But if we need to get him out in the open field and he needs to drop it into four, he can drop it into four and get us 10 to 12 yards.
And then you look on the ground of the opportunities that Tanner Cole had, 59 yards, six carries. Jace carried it 22 times. Brady got some carries in there on the ground. But, a Jayhawk to watch or an athlete to watch that we saw this week was Jarrett Delagardelle. Talk about yards after touch, you know, for how many yards he gets when there was players trying to get him to the ground.
Yeah, so what makes us, I think, a really dangerous offensively and defensively is our team speed. And it's, you know, it's pick your poison. Who do you want to try to stop? Team focuses on Delagardelle this week between the tackles. All right, you might have Brady Dahl and Tanner going in a full head of steam to the outside. All right, you're going to try to, we offensively trying to expand the box. You're going to try to cover the alleys. All right, we can pound you in the middle with, you know, someone you haven't even mentioned would be Noah Sheridan. We can mention Deli going up the middle. All right, you want to try to stop the run? Okay, we can take the top off the defense and have Jace go up the deep ball. We can have him roll out. So we got a lot of guys where you can try to stop us. This may sound a little arrogant, but we've got some counter moves as well.
Yeah, and just going through here and just thinking of Tanner, you know, he was on the ground, he was catching, he's on defense. Heck, he came in and was booting the ball too. Yep. It's nice to have a diverse player like Tanner Cole. When you look at his punts, seven punts, 210 yards, that's 30 yard average. And I think you're still trying to figure out maybe who you were going to have behind there punting it, but you've got some options out there, don't you, when it comes to the kicking game?
Yeah. And that's been a point of emphasis, especially working, you know, being a special teams coach. One thing with quarantine, it was very evident that we need to get better there. And how do we get better? And there's times before our open fields is I'm there 30 to 45 minutes before, and I'm working on punting. I'm videotaping myself so I can go work with Tanner. I can work with some of our sophomores or other guys that would like to kick. And it's paid some dividends so far where, you know, Tanner came up one day. He's like, hey, do you mind if I punt? And I said, okay, but this is how we do it. We got to work on A, B, and C before we even punt a ball. And it's gotten to the point where he's taken upon himself and he's like, hey, I watch some of these videos and this is where my aiming point, this is where my eyes need to be. And it's so cool to see someone like Tanner, who kind of has been, hey, we're going to put you here, we're going to put you there, take responsibility for, you know, special teams always gets the knack for being the lesser known parts of the football game, one of the phases of the football, excuse me. But he's just done a really good job stepping up to the plate. And, you know, there might be times where he cramps up like he did on Monday, or he needs a blow, and we've got other guys that can fill that role as well.
Yeah, even looking at the kicking game, you got two people out there between Novak and Rylan Baugh. They get a chance to boot that, you know, from the 25. And then you look at Rylan getting his extra point in too. You know, how about that? That bring the soccer style in.
Yeah, and that's so cool. We have guys that, you know, hey coach, how can I be a productive member on the team? Well, can you kick? Can you long snap? Can you be a punt returner? And those guys, we have something before practice starts. We call it PYC time. It's perfect your craft. And it's guys who want that extra time. It's about the first, you know, 10 minutes before practice where they have a set of skills that they want to work on that maybe they don't get time to work on during practice. You know, so you see Novak. Novak's out there booting the ball pretty decent. We have some soccer players who haven't played football in a while, never played football. You know, I think of like Ryan Durham. I think of Jacob Yexley. I think Camden Seahouse. I think of Ryland. And it's just been great to see those guys punt, kick, and just see them having success and being joyful when they're out there playing football.
Well, we talk about, you know, the people that get the stats as far as the yards and the catches, things like that. That doesn't happen without a strong front. And it was impressive to see the lineup you have on that offensive line and also on that defensive line that are really making some things happen for those key players.
Yeah, just the motto of those guys are overworked and underappreciated. You know, I've lived that life, and it is a thankless job, you know, playing in the trenches. And we are very fortunate. We've got a lot of guys who want to play, and they're putting in the work. And they, you know, we've got a handful of guys who can go 140 plays, and we got some guys who can only go 100. We got some guys that can only go 60. And it's our linemen have a very good understanding of what their role is. And hey, we need to roll you in the second quarter because so and so needs a break. And guys have really stepped up to that, and that's really is going to benefit us in the long run, because not only are those reps going to help our younger players as they progress into, you know, juniors and seniors, but it's going to make us fresher even longer throughout the game.
Yeah, you look at, you know, the people who are on that line, and you pointed out Bryce Glider, you pointed out, Sly. Those guys out there that – you know, we're giving up some pounds to people across from them, but I think they had the strength, they had the quickness, and that was the advantage on Friday night up front.
Yep. And that, you know, there's the, you know, part of it is we think about, well, if you're not over 200 pounds, you can't play the line. And there's, you know, there's a significant, especially if you talk to some of the older players, like players from the 60s and 70s, they'll talk about how they're 160, 170. And, you know, those are just numbers. If you can get off the ball and you can be, you know, fundamentally sound, you can do a lot of great stuff. And it helps when you're fresh, you know, whether it's Merrick only plays some here, plays offensively here, not so much defensively, Glider rotational through it. Then you've got, you know, big boys like Zach Friedley and Jesus Silva who help plug up the middle, and they're doing, you know, a tremendous job spilling some guys defense on the defensive line. And, it's just, you know, you just, when you start putting pieces together and things just fit just right, that's what it kind of feels like when we look at the offensive line and we watch their production. And is there speed bumps in places sometimes? Heck yeah, there is. It's high school kids, but it's just been really cool to see how they melded, gelled and meshed together. And what would, you know, the end product on Fridays has so far been good.
You know, we talk a lot about the good things, but I got to bring up the challenging things from Friday night. And I don't know how many you had, the yellow flags that came out. And I'm sure, yeah, even with that 31-8 win, that had to those were sticking with you. I could just tell.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, week one, you expect to see cramping, you expect to see penalties, but not to that level. And that's just a little disappointing because that means – we as a staff need to do a little bit better job of fine tuning some of our formations, making sure guys are, you know, getting aligned properly. Guys are knowing the snap count. And so we take that more of a reflection of, hey, we got to get more into the nitty gritty, a little more of the details in order to have a better product on Friday. Cause that's not, like I said, we had a lot of success on Friday, but as the season continues, we can't expect to have 20 penalties and be successful.
So as we get into this week's of practice, got going again on Monday, I'm sure watched film. You know, how are things this week? How are you looking health-wise? Coming out, you had a lot of cramping, but moving forward, talk about practice this week so far.
Yeah, practice has been good. The weather's definitely been cooler. Still pushing hydration to our kids. Just, you know, it's just super tough, especially in school with, you know, with our barriers that we're wearing, our mask, and just making sure our kids are, you know, properly hydrating themselves and feeling themselves. And practice has been good. We've seen some more some rotation, trying some guys in some different spots, just trying to get as many fresh bodies on the field as possible so we can eliminate that cramping. You know, as a staff, we're going to you could see a lot of changes from week one to week two, because if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, you know, that's kind of the definition of insanity. So, you know, sometimes you got to look at some things personnel wise or alignment wise with some of your, people. And you just do the best you can with what you got. And to be honest, Nate, you don't know how long you'll be able to do it for either.
Right, right. We talked about that last week, is you got to keep moving forward. And, you know, there's some adjustments that I'm sure you'll have to make as move forward and just keep adapting and keep personnel ready. But moving into Friday night, Hudson 0-1, losing their home first game of the season resoundingly to Columbus Catholic, 29-0. After a 31-8 victory that you had on Northwind, 1-0 coming to that. That was a team that, coming off a state championship 2 years ago, you'd have been by, one or two points last year, 7-5 over at their place, and you head back there again on Friday. What are you seeing going in? What do you see? You don't want to come in too high after a big victory.
Right.
You want to come in settled before you get a district play.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to come out and thinking that, you know, hey, we beat a team that we didn't beat last year. And now we're coming into a team that we beat last year. So we're thinking, hey, we've got it all figured out. They're going to roll out the red carpets for Jessup. And, you know, the beautiful thing about Friday night is anyone can beat anyone. So kind of a respect all, fear none mentality is, you know, we're going to see a Hudson team that, you know, might have some younger cats playing at some different positions, and the older guys that they have might be playing significant snaps both ways, but we got to come out, we got to execute, we got a lot of things we got to clean up. So no one's going to crown us anything. No one's going to say, oh, watch out, this is Jessup. I mean, one win and one loss doesn't make you, and it doesn't break you. So we just got to keep focused and keep adding to our resume.
You know, I look, Friday night, we're getting things going. It's good to see the lights coming on. And then here comes the Sauer family from Minnesota. So your parents made your way down, and all of a sudden I see Stratton. He makes his way to his first home Jessup football game. You know, I stuck my head out, and I was like, oh, look who's here. I said it to your mom. And it's like she didn't even know who I was. You know, I was only kind of maybe offended, or maybe she was just a little celebrity shocked. I don't know.
You know, it could be, it probably is that, because she looks forward to the show. She likes talking about how you ask the tough questions. You do a great job. And, maybe you and Mr. Tim Senior can sit down one day, and I don't know. I know you've talked to mom, so maybe you can talk to dad and see how that goes.
I'm going to guess that it's harder to pull words out of him than it is out of her. Am I right?
Man, a few words, wisdom, but not as talkative as me, but maybe one day maybe we'll get my wife on here someday and you guys can break some stuff down.
Oh, it would just be a grilling, you know, we'd be roasting you is what I think it would come down to, really.
Make sure we have that on tape delay.
Yeah. So how did Stratton do it his first game? His first home.
Good. You know, we usually try to put them down around 8, and it was 8:30, 9 o'clock when they left, and he wore they were in the stands, so he had his face mask on, and he wore it for over two and a half hours, and that's really great, and I think that's really positive to see, you know, someone his age wearing the mask the whole entire time, and just keep doing what we're supposed to be doing, and so we can keep doing stuff on Friday nights.
Well, Coach, I appreciate the time, and at 5 o'clock bus departure on Friday, head over to Hudson and get things going. Should be a nice night for football.
Yeah, we're pretty excited, and let's get there, and let's get underneath the lights, and let's just play.
All right, Coach, I appreciate the time, and as always, it's
a great night to be a Jayhawk.
It is a great night to be at Jayhawk. Everybody, enjoy the game. It is going to be streamed live. The link will be on Jayhawk Sports Network, as Hudson's going to be hosting that. Everybody, go Jayhawks and stay safe.
See ya.
Taking a break from this episode to tell you about the Motivators Assessment. A few years back, when I made a big turn on my own career adventure, I was traveling through O'Hare Airport, and I discovered the book What Motivates Me from The Culture Works. I was drawn to it because at the time in my life, I was looking to find out how I can get more excitement in the work I was doing. It wasn't about my strengths or personality, but what kind of work gets me excited each day. Going through this assessment, it gives you a great report. I learned that my key motivators are problem solving, learning, and developing others. It does really fit me. Go to whatmotivates.me, whatmotivates.me, to see what motivates you. Joe, good luck tonight.
Thanks, Scott.